Drive into summer savings at Burt Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on complete car care services like free alignment checks, $20 off any Valvoline oil change, $20 AC checks, and $25 off any service over $250. Burt Brothers Tire and Service.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Hand off middle. First down. Touchdown! And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the Cougars' last game and look ahead to next week. Cougar Nation, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Light up that phone line, Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. This show is for you, and we want to hear your thoughts on what the heck happened last week as Iowa State beat BYU 45-13. We'd love to hear from you as well regarding what gives you hope for the rest of the season and for next year that things can look better for BYU football, 801-575-8255. 8255. We'll be here for the next hour, taking your calls, breaking things down with BYU and Iowa State, and we do that like we do every single week.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Our takeaways segment here in Cougar Nation. But again, load up the phone lines, 801-575-8255. What gives you hope, Cougar Nation? For this BYU football team, only two games left. Cougars sit at 5-5 on the year after they suffered their third consecutive loss of the season, falling to Iowa State 45-13 in Provo in a game that BYU just got handled, manhandled. Even Kalani Sitake agreed with that assessment from one of the media members in the post game. It was a tough night for BYU. Takeaway number one, though, Matt, BYU's defense did everything that it could. BYU just completely struggled, and their brand is taking a hit with these blowout losses.
It really is, because you look at the record right now, 5-5. I don't think any sane BYU fan would say 5-5. That's kind of on par with what we were expecting. The problem is the manner in which you're 5-5. You have a narrow win against Sam Houston. You have a comeback win at Arkansas. And then you have this string of losses where you're not even competitive. That's the issue. And that's why the brand is taking a hit, because you don't look at this 5-5 and say, wow, they're fighting, they're scratching, they're clawing, they're on the door, and a mistake here or a big play there. No, that's not the case. It is for three consecutive weeks, you have gotten beaten to a bloody pulp. And if it wasn't for Texas Tech having a true freshman quarterback and just being, you know, completely devastated with injuries when they played BYU, they might be out of bowl eligibility already. So it's just the way that they're playing, not so much the record.
Despite the brand taking a hit, Kalani Sitake still believes that the culture is still thriving.
Culture on the team is still thriving. I believe that the culture is still thriving because guys aren't pointing fingers. Guys are still unified. With a lot of outside noise, guys are still connected and still love their role as a team.
It's tough times right now for this BYU football team and that brand for BYU. I feel like these type of losses hurt more than just a L in the loss column. I think it goes into, suddenly, do you not belong in the Big 12? Is this way too big of a stage for BYU? I think naturally the thought was, you level up to Power 5 play, BYU football, a successful winning program over the last five decades, averaging 8 wins a year, one of the winningest programs in college football over the last 50 years, they're going to naturally level up. And the stage is maybe a little bit too big. The talent gap is far wider than any of us expected.
Here's what Jake Retzlaff, BYU starting quarterback against Texas Tech, had to say about that nasty loss at home.
Getting beat like that at home is not fun in any way whatsoever, and we want to perform well, especially in Lavelle. And so we're going to be really hungry this week. And I know a lot of guys will feel the same way I do, and we'll attack practice, you know, ready to go perform a lot better next Saturday.
Speaking of Jake Retzlaff, let's go into our next takeaway. Quarterback situation heading into Oklahoma, it's still up for grabs now because Jake Retzlaff, he struggled against Iowa State.
He wasn't the same after the first interception. And that interception, look, he, against West Virginia, had a little moxie to him, and I liked it. You were making plays, you're slinging it around, different arm angles, And it worked against West Virginia a little bit, right? I mean, he still completed only 50% of his passes against the Mountaineers, but there weren't the turnovers. But for the first play of the game to be an interception deep in your own territory, and the worst part about that pick is you go back and watch it, Mitch. Isaac Rex is wide open. You dump it off to Isaac Rex underneath, you get 7 or 8 yards, and you're at 2nd and 2, and the ball is rolling. Instead, you go for this really high-level pass that has to be perfectly placed over the linebacker, but underneath the safety. He doesn't execute. It's a pick. And then I just felt like, man, he didn't trust himself after that. There were a lot of times where he could have dumped it off in the flat. He would hold onto the ball, run around, try to make something happen. He really struggled against Iowa State, and I feel like it does open the door a little bit where if he had played well, you would say, okay, kind of what the Minnesota Vikings are doing with Joshua Dobbs, right? Jaren Hall has that good first drive. He gets banged up. Dobbs comes in, wins that game at Atlanta. Then yesterday, he beats the Saints, and now the Vikings are like, he's the guy. He's the man. That was on the table for Jake Retzlaff if he had played well against Iowa State. Now, I think you would go back to Keaton once he's right.
No question. He struggled mightily. I mean, to the point where you're saying, does Parker Kingston need to be QB? Well, I'm kidding. But still, Retzlaff struggled. One thing I will say that was a positive from Retzlaff in that game against Iowa State, he's a better runner than I think any of us would have expected.
Yeah.
I would say he's maybe a little bit faster than Zach Wilson was as a runner. I was very impressed with Jake from that standpoint. 17 carries, 64 yards. But you saw that inexperience where he didn't go through his reads. He was just quick to run at a moment's notice. Credit Iowa State's secondary, one of the best in the Big 12. They locked down BYU's receivers. But there were times when Chase Roberts was open and Retzlaff just didn't see him. And he took off instead or was slipping on the field. Goodness gracious, we could get into all of that.
Jeez,
but
that's a takeaway.
That's for another day. Another takeaway. Can this team, Matt, avoid an early deficit? It seems like every game, BYU looks up, they blink. Oh, it's 10-0. Oh, it's 14-0. It was 10-0 before they could even gather themselves against the Cyclones.
Self-inflicted wounds, too. Both of the early turnovers, they didn't need to happen. That ball did not need to be thrown. And again, look, that's going to be something that Jake Retzlaff learns from. He's a really inexperienced quarterback. We got to remember that. You already brought up Zach Wilson. His second career start was pretty bad too, right? He had that nice debut against Hawaii back in 2018, and then the next week, a dud. So these inexperienced quarterbacks, it's a roller coaster in college football. That is to be expected a little bit. The second turnover, I think, is getting really frustrating. I commend Keelan Marion, Mitch, for wanting to be a home run threat at kick returner. But you got to understand the rules of college football. It's a free pass to the 25-yard line. If the ball is kicked anywhere near the goal line, just take the 25 yards. If it's underkicked, yeah, make something of it. Let's see what happens. But over and over and over again, Keelan Marion has chances to bring that ball out. And it's just, more times than not, it's a negative play.
It is. And the thing is that BYU has just struggled. This has been their DNA the whole year. You think about the Arkansas win, 14-0 down. They just always dig themselves in these holes. At some point, build up your own lead. The problem now is that BYU is staring down two games against teams that were in the most recent top 25 poll in Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. That's what made the Iowa State game so discouraging. And I felt for Cougar Nation, they showed up. 60,000-plus fans on a cold, freezing night, late-night game. I didn't realize this, but the first 8 p.m. or later kick at home since November of 2016 for a November home game, BYU fans showed up. They had nothing to cheer about. It was just a beatdown. And again, Kalani Sitake agreed with the sentiment. They just simply got manhandled on the line, and BYU was just a mess that whole game.
We'll figure it out. I think manhandled is the right statement.
It is. BYU was... They lost 45-13 to Iowa State. They fall to 5-5 on the season, and it just feels like there's so many questions rather than answers, and that's unfortunate as you head into Game 11 this week.
Can I add a bonus takeaway really quickly?
Yes.
The third down on both sides of the ball if it's not the biggest issue, it's one of the biggest issues because this team, they only picked up one first down on a third down conversion all night, and then at one point in the second quarter, Mitch, Iowa State had ripped off 6 consecutive third down conversions. Here's what the head ball coach Kalani Sitake had to say about that pivotal down.
You guys heard me talk about this. The third downs have been an issue for us on defense and on offense. And so 1 for 11 on third downs is not good enough. And 1 for 4 on fourth downs, horrible. So it's not good enough. Football, defensively, it's 8 for 14. But I believe they were 6 for 8 to begin the game.
Ugh, that is not good. I will say this too, Mitch. I think that was one of Kalani's better post games. I felt like there was more honesty there afterwards. You could feel the frustration, and I appreciated that. It didn't take away the sting of the loss, but it was nice to hear him use words like horrible, manhandled, calling it like it was, because sometimes you get the, we're going to fix it, we're going to make it better. Just, hey, let's be real with us, and let's move forward.
I think Cougar Nation was a little bit stunned that he was so candid about the defense. We'll get to them a little bit later, but yeah, you want honesty. Like, you want a coach to just be honest and be real with you, and I think you're right. I think Kalani was real with the current situation. He was ticked in the halftime that you heard here on KSL News Radio when he was talking to Mitchell Jurgensen going to the halftime locker room. He called it, his words, bull crap, how they were playing. And it was just, there's a lot of frustration happening. And you hope that BYU can find ways to get some answers soon, because for it to go a whole, basically more than a month, since the bye week in early October, BYU has been a mess of a team. If they didn't face a true freshman third-string quarterback at Texas Tech, they'd be winless since the bye week.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I know that they won that game against Texas Tech, but still, that was a byproduct of a true freshman quarterback coughing up the football left and right, and BYU capitalized. Otherwise, it's been a whole lot of nothing from BYU in all three phases, and we'll continue to get to it and discuss this team. And what gives you hope, Cougar Nation? Tell us. Please, help us. We're trying to get some answers, too. We're here for you. 801-575-8255. It's Cougar Nation, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Cougar Nation.
A 75-yard touchdown run down the far sideline.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. Join me this Saturday at the Macy's in Orem, 880 North State Street. Going to be having a tailgate party there, getting you ready for BYU and Oklahoma. Friday night, 4 to 7, be down there having some Macy's gift cards, and you also can enter to win tickets to the BYU-Oklahoma game. So stop by Macy's in Orem. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning, bluebarnwealth.com. You know what? This is a week, Matt, where we're not turning to helmet stickers. Typically we do, but I don't think anyone warrants a helmet sticker after what we just witnessed this past week. And I think Cougar Nation would be frustrated if we gave out helmet stickers after a 45-13 loss.
Which opens up maybe an extra caller, 801-575-8255. If you want to give us your takeaways from the Iowa State game, if you want to sound off with the frustration, or if you want to answer this question, which Mitch is going to answer next, what gives you hope about the rest of the year and next season? 801-575-8255. Mitch, answer the question.
Kalani Sitake gives me hope. Kalani gives me hope, Matt. And I know that Cougar Nation right now is feeling maybe mixed about Kalani as the head coach going forward, but I do believe in Kalani that he is the right man for the job for BYU. Now, how many times can he pull a lever and say, this coordinator gets changed, this coordinator gets changed? How many times is that allowed until the attention points to Kalani? I think it's fair to ask, but I do believe that Kalani is the perfect guy to lead BYU football in the Big 12. I think there's got to be a little bit of grace with the Big 12 transition, because there's clear talent gap, and that's on him to have a two-year ramp up and not have the talent necessary to contend week after week. But I feel like the best man to get that talent is Kalani, is Jay Hill, and I think Aaron Roderick. I mean, Aaron Roderick has produced NFL talent, and some of it's been through the transfer portal, getting a guy like Puka Nacua. So I'm still believing, though, in Kalani, and I feel like he's the right man for the job, and I think the calls for him to be fired are a little bit premature, and I think that Kalani is going to get this turned around for BYU in the future. I just think the transition was far steeper than I think folks like ourselves, and I think players and the program at large may be expected going into the Big 12.
I think the thing that brings me hope in the short term, Mitch, is the Big 12 conference itself. You just look across the board. Heck, you do a show every Sunday, First and 12 with Alex Keery, where you're breaking all things Big 12, and you just don't see some of these things happening. Like, I think we can all agree the worst team in the Big 12 is the Baylor Bears.
Yes, no question.
And they had an upset victory on the road against UCF. Like, every team has had an interesting win in the Big 12 except for one, BYU. Like, that's still out there.
That's a good point.
So, and you look at some of the road teams that have struggled, it's kind of been surprising. Texas on the road at TCU, that was way closer than it needed to be. Oklahoma, they've had a couple games on the road where you're like, okay, you barely beat Cincinnati. And I think there's an opportunity still this week in particular. I don't like this team on the road, Mitch. I don't. I just do not see any possible way they beat Oklahoma State the last game of the year. I don't. And I really don't see a way that they beat Oklahoma either. But if you made me pick a game that they could sneak up and surprise someone, it is Oklahoma, because teams on the road in this conference have done some very weird things. West Virginia lost to Houston on the road. So there is – the Big 12 has been so wacky in that regard that you can't pencil out a road opponent stumbling, and it could be Oklahoma.
801-575-8255. That's 801-575-TALK, 8255. This show is for you, Cougar Nation. Let's get out to the phone line. Welcome in Corey from West Jordan. Corey, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. What's up?
I was just listening. Oklahoma, you know, I was at the game on Saturday with my daughter, and after the second touchdown by Iowa State in the third quarter, she's like, I'm cold. And I said, yeah, let's go. This is enough. But you were like, oh, yeah, I think Oklahoma, aren't they like the number two team in the country right now?
14.
Oh, okay. Well, I think BYU's chances of winning another game are slim to none.
I don't disagree at all, by the way.
So, but my question was, I've seen teams that are 5-7 go bowling. So doesn't that mean that there's still an outside shot?
Great question, Corey. And there is a chance for 5-7 teams, 5-7 teams to go bowling. The problem for BYU is that they would not, because it's based off of an APR, and that's it's a whole deep in the weeds conversation that I'll probably publish online. But BYU is near the bottom in APR, and a lot of that's due to missionaries and juggling, so they lose some personnel. So highly unlikely that BYU will get a 5-7 bowl bid, because they're near the bottom in advanced progress rate. So that's not going to be in the cards. They need to get to that sixth win if they want to go to the bowl season.
Well, that's unfortunate, because we've got a great fan base. I mean, you could send them the toilet bowl and people would still show up.
That is true. BYU fans, they show up. I mean, even Saturday, you yourself, Corey, showing up to a cold weather game in, you know, Provo in November, late night, and there were 60,000 plus. So appreciate the call, Corey, and calling in. You can join the show out there, Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. Yeah, BYU's APR is very low, so 5-7 won't be in the cards for them to go to a bowl game. But I think this team, I feel like either one of these matchups is going to be a tall order. And I feel like the season in some ways ended on Saturday night against Iowa State. And look, BYU does crazy things, man. When you think they're down and out, they step up. But we thought that maybe at Texas, and they didn't step up. I mean, this BYU team is – it's pretty bad, Matt. You look at all the stats, they back it up, and this is not your BYU of old where they're going to have a competent offense that can put up some numbers and be a threat. BYU's offense is not a threat right now, and you can't keep up with a team like Oklahoma who can put up big numbers. I mean, Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for Oklahoma, he accounted for 8 touchdowns in their win over a West Virginia team that BYU got the doors blown off them. I mean, Oklahoma beat that West Virginia team 59-20. So it's going to be tough sledding for BYU down the stretch. They would have to pull out one. It would be an incredible win, Matt, if they somehow pulled it off one of these 2 weeks. It would be incredible.
Yeah, it would be. And here's the thing, too. This is what we have to kind of remember, even though everything we've seen for the past month is just horrible, as you've laid out. One more win, it's a successful season.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes.
One more win, a successful season. And if they do it against either of those two teams at the beginning of the year, if you would have said you're 5-5 and you beat Oklahoma to get to bowl eligibility, every single one of you would have signed up for that.
If you don't go bowling, though, what gives you hope, Cougar Nation? That's our question of the night. What gives you hope for BYU football, the short-term and long-term going forward? I told you mine. I believe in Kalani still. 801-575-8255. We want to hear your commentary as well. Taking a break. Cougar Nation brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. News, traffic, and weather next. And then we'll get to what's trending up and trending down for BYU football right here on Cougar Nation. It's powered by KSL Sports.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cougar Nation.
Touchdown, Cougars take the lead.
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, we're taking your calls. That was a good call we just had with Corey. 801-575-8255. What gives you hope the rest of this year, if anything? Or if you just want to vent, if you want to let out some frustration, we're all ears here on Cougar Nation. So hit that phone line, 801-575-8255. Right now, Mitch, let's get to a segment we do every single week at this time.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up? And what's trending down this football season?
There are some things that are trending up slightly, ever so slightly. Here's one that maybe I didn't think I'd ever say this season. BYU's ground attack? Trending up? I think so, Matt, maybe.
That was a really encouraging performance because it wasn't just one guy and it wasn't just in one quarter. I felt like there was stuff there in the first half. The problem is there wasn't enough sustained scoring to stay with it. So then you sort of had to abandon ship. But that was a great average, 4.9 yards per carry. You look down the line, Aiden Robbins, 10 for 58. LJ, 8 for 56. That's not bad. And even Jake Retzlaff, I thought he carried the ball seven times too many. But 17 for 64, he's around 4 yards a carry. Yeah, I think that was trending up. However, there's just a lot more trending down that it didn't offset all of the trending down. And for me, Mitch, one of my biggest trending downs, and it pains me to say it, Jake Retzlaff. I just felt like, and that interception was really bad. I think that was, is it unfair of me to say that was the worst pick of the year? I felt like that was,
I think it was,
either that or the Slovis pick six at Kansas to me were the worst interceptions of the season. The Kansas one hurt because you were in a great position and that flipped momentum. There was no need for it. This one hurt as much, if not more, though, because it was like, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Yeah, because it was a game where even though you've had a losing streak, you've lost two in a row, you felt like, okay, you're back home. You got blackout. You got a night game. You got the fans behind you. This is the game to get right
first
and get
play
to bowl eligibility. Then,
boom, first play. I wasn't even in my seat yet when that happened. I was racing back to the press box and it was already 7-0. It just could not believe it. Here's what I think. The reason I'm putting it on my trending down, though, Mitch, is not because of the pick. It was what happened after the pick. I don't think he ever flushed that away. I felt like that he dwelled on that all game long and it affected his decision making. There was just too many times where he was skittish in the pocket. Too many times he missed open guys. Too many times that he had a check down for 2 or 3 yards. He's trying to make something happen. I didn't feel like he was decisive. Like at West Virginia, everything was decisive.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom. Here, here, here. Take off there. I felt like he could not get a grip on what was happening. It was just a, it was a cyclone, for the lack of a better term. So trending down, Jake Rutzlaff, and I hate to say that.
Trending down for me is the BYU defense, and here was Kalani after the game.
Coach, I've been around this scheme for a long time, most of my career, and the way it works is everybody's got to do the 111th. And so when your opportunity comes, you got to find a way to make plays. And that's, but we're responsible for that. Me as a head coach, all the coaches on defense, Jay Hill and the rest of them, we have to find ways to get our guys to do their part, and everybody's got to do their part, starting for me.
And also the struggles with the defense, could it be a situation where there's not a belief in the system?
I don't have all the answers to that. I probably have a better answer for you on Monday if you're watching the film, but my first response to that is probably guys not believing in the system and not believing in what we were doing. There's a lot of mistakes with fundamentals. There's just a missed tackles, body position, a lot of guys slipping all over the place, not making plays.
It wasn't good, the way that BYU's defense played on Saturday night. You know, Iowa State was not impacted at all by the slippery conditions. BYU was slipping everywhere. And BYU's defense, you know, I feel like they have made progress this year. I know statistically it doesn't bear out. It feels like they're trending backwards to where the lows that they had last season. But I feel like they've gotten better in some aspects. But when this group doesn't get a takeaway or two, they're toast. Like, they're not going to get off the field on third down. And if they don't create a takeaway, they're done. They're going to give up big numbers to these teams. And that's concerning, because at some point, are you going to get a stop on third down? It's just become the identity, sadly, of what BYU defenses have been. And that spans now two defensive coordinators.
Let's get out to the phone line. Our guy from Texas. I think this is our guy. Michael from Texas. Michael, you called in a few weeks ago, didn't you?
I have. I've called in a couple times.
You're our guy, yeah. Michael. We love your calls.
Awesome, man. Well, I just wanted to say a couple things. So, you know, I noticed with Kalani, he has a lot of player trust. He puts a lot of trust in the players. And because of that, when things are going well and the players are brought in, it can be higher than the normal program. But when things aren't going well, the train falls off the tracks. And I just think he enables his players to make mistakes that really they haven't earned the right to make. And I'll give you guys an example. I actually coached for 4 years in Utah on a staff that went to the state semis. And I remember one game we were playing, the offensive coordinator called down and he said, "Hey, I'd like to go for it here on fourth and short. Let's run this." The head coach said, no, coach, the team hasn't earned the right to go for it here." And he pulled them off the field. And it was not the right football play. I remember that. I thought, man, we should have went for it there. But it was the right culture play, because it taught the players, like, no, guys, like, you ain't doing the little things. If you're not good at the little things, I'm going to handcuff you. And I just think that sometimes Kalani doesn't handcuff enough when things are getting bad. Like, I don't think BYU, for example, has earned the right to return a kickoff. I don't think BYU has earned the right to play a fun, aggressive style of defense. I think that BYU has not earned the right a lot of times to go for it on fourth down. And we're just very willy-nilly with a lot of these things that I don't think BYU has – they've either lost the right or not earned the right to do those things. And they need to focus more on the vanilla parts of the game before they're able to do those things. And so I just think that it can get really high. It can also get really low, because there's a little bit too much trust when they haven't necessarily earned it as a team. So anyway, that's all I want to say. Thanks.
I like that take, Michael. And I'm curious, if you're still on the line, Michael, what gives you hope, though, with this BYU program?
We won 29 games in 3 years.
Yeah.
I think that you can tell from some players that have bought in, they've improved. If you look at Crew Wakely, as I talked about last time, has improved. Darius Lassiter, he's improved. You can see, this is why it also bothers me when I hear that, like, BYU has a talent problem. I kind of talked about that last time. It's not a talent problem. And I don't want to call out names because I'm not like that, but our most talented players on the team are the ones that are failing us the most. And so I think that you see that when certain players buy in, they do improve. And I think that that is something that, and I've seen it from 2018 to 2022 as well. The players that bought in, those dogs, they improved. So that's my thoughts.
Michael, great call. We appreciate it. We'll hear from you next week, hopefully, right?
Maybe. I usually take about a couple weeks off, but I'll call back in.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Really good call there. There's a lot to chew on from what he had to say. I do think there is a lot of truth behind it's not totally buttoned up. Like, something, I think it's trending in the right direction since we're in the What's Trending segment. Like, let's go back to early in the year when Malik Moore wasn't playing well and he got pulled off the field.
Yep.
For, like, that was a positive sign in that category for me, because I think in previous years under Kalani and Tuiaki, they just roll with their guys, and that didn't work. So I liked that it was like, hey, if you're not going to do what we want you to do, we are not going to play you. I do think, though, there is still room for improvement in terms of accountability on, like, the Keelan Marion thing is a good point, I think. Hey, there's too many times you're making the wrong decision. Let's try someone else.
Yeah.
But they just keep doing it. So I feel like that is a good point. And a lot of these things, too, you look at some of the great college football programs in America right now. You think these type of behaviors would fly at Alabama? Would it fly at Michigan? Would it fly at Ohio State? I don't think so. Now, they have more talent.
Well, yeah, I don't really like comparing BYU to that.
I know, because they have more talent.
How about, can they be TCU? Well, the top end of the Big 12? Can they be Kansas State? How about Kansas State?
Kansas State's a great example. I'm not bringing up those names just in terms of can you be that, because they're more talented than BYU and they always will be. But Alabama, you don't get away with nothing at Alabama. That's the point. It's a hard ship under Nick Saban. You got to do it my way or you're not playing. And Michael's point is it doesn't feel like it's quite that way, and he might be right.
It is difficult to be a tough cop as a coach, you know, where you
especially
have to
today's day
lay the hammer down, because that transfer portal is always there.
Yep.
And you have to almost re-recruit your guys in some capacity every single day. And, you know, that is a risk. And, you know, I think Kalani is a beloved person by every player. Honestly, there's never been a player that leaves the program and says, I hated Kalani Sitake. No one's ever done that.
Yep.
I've heard that in the past with other coaches. And just you hear stories and around college football of guys saying, I'm done with that coach. I had to bounce. They don't say that about Kalani. And there's something to be said about that. But I think there is something about being a little bit tighter, like, hey, this is inexcusable. This can't happen again. I mean, the fans were sarcastically cheering when Keelan Marion and the kick return team actually called the fair catch. You know, it's like at some point that's got to be fixed, and things got to be fixed with the offense, because they are kind of loose when it comes to fourth down attempts. Thinking about the West Virginia game, the 4th-and-2 on the opening drive, how it was just a poor play call and they got blown up on the right side of the line. You got a new guard in there. Don't go to that side of the field. You got to be a little more tighter on things. So like that call from Michael. We're still taking your calls, 801-575-8255. Tonight's show, as always, brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth, fee-only fiduciaries who help you live within your meaning. BlueBarnWealth.com. Taking our final time out. And then on the other side, we'll get to more of your calls, texts, and look ahead to BYU versus Oklahoma here on Cougar Nation. It's powered by KSL Sports.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cougar Nation.
The Cougars picked it off, and in overtime they won it!
Every Monday at 6 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation. Brought to you by Blue Barn Wealth. Hey, real quick, Matt, another thing that I wanted to add before we get to some phone lines. We see you, Chad from Huntsville and Trevin from Saratoga Springs. We'll get out to you here momentarily. Another thing that's trending down just real quick, Cosmo. That singing in
Amen.
The rain, I
was
a little
brutal.
Disappointed. I mean, I know Cosmo has a high bar on the mascot game, but even Cosmo took an L this weekend.
That was inexcusable to have a dance routine without the Cougarettes. That should be a non-starter.
Yeah, like, Cosmo, we love you, dog. Like, you're the man. Or Cat, we love you, Cat.
He could have slid down the stairs like Jazz Bear on a sled, for heaven's sake. Somebody would have loved that.
There was only one guy in the press box that said that was good. And we all looked at him and went, huh? What are you talking about? Seeing in the rain?
I gave him the old Joaquin Phoenix Gladiator thumbs down. And
like, Cosmo, we love you. Like, you're the number one mascot in the nation, but it was just one of those nights where everything wasn't working, including for Cosmo, the mascot, who's an absolute stud. Hey, let's get out of the phone line. 801-575-8255. Chad from Huntsville. What gives you hope, Chad?
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. You know, in 85, I was there. I went to BYU, and we scored at will, won the national championship. So I take my kids back every now and again, and I took my whole family down to this game thinking, okay, this is probably going to be one that we win. It's just, for me, it seems like there's no eye of the tiger. You know, there's no effort. Yeah, after the first two possessions by the other team or our team, and they score quickly, you know, it seems like the defense showed up for one series. That was about it. The rest of the game, where were they? And then, you know, to allow, what, 40-something points to be scored? Are you kidding me? It just seems like, yeah, they had enough effort for one time. Where's the rest of that? Are there too many players who are here on a scholarship or something? And then, you know, the offense, sure, they showed up for two series. Okay, what about the rest of the time? I think I agree with your previous caller. Sometimes there's just too much, I don't know, they're just grown soft, or there's not enough accountability. You know, you make a mistake, you're out of the game. Let's get somebody who can make this happen. So I believe in a good recruiting process, but you're not going to get that if you're losing this many games. Maybe I don't agree with you on Kalani Sitake. I was there when he played, but I just think we got to do something. We got to change this narrative. You know, we're too used to losing and everybody's just happy about it. I'm not happy about it. The students were there for a social gathering. They were vested in the game until the first two plays, and then the rest of the time it was, you know, the new Cougar Tales and whatever else is going on, flirting with the girl next door. You know,
there's got to be room for that at college, though, Chad, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, maybe if it's just, hey, we're filling the stadium, 60,000, that's a lot of people. You know, it helps the budget of the university, great. But, you know, we'd like to, those of us who have been lifelong Cougar fans, we'd love to see us get back on the winning track. And hopefully, you know, that can change in the future. There's always hope, right?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Chad. Appreciate it. I do disagree with Chad on one thing. I think we're being a little harsh on the defense. If you go specifically back to the Iowa State game, Mitch, they are put in a horrible position. They actually hold Iowa State to a field goal on the second miscue, so it's 10-0. Offense scores. What happens next? They force a punt. And BYU's offense bottoms out. Yeah. And then how long can you expect the defense to just keep putting it on the line when you know the offense deep down is not going to do jack squat?
Well, and I think Chad makes fair points, though, about how, you know what, like, this BYU brand shouldn't be lower just because they're in the Big 12. That was one thing that I never – there's been times where Kalani says, you know, when it went up against Texas, we're not going to run the ball down their throats against Texas. They're an elite team. Like, wait, what? Like, when did BYU ever go in with that mindset?
Yep.
That's inexcusable. So that sort of stuff, that's got to change where, you know, and that's where I do feel like I have optimism, too. Another thing that gives me hope, I do feel like BYU administration, they're big into sports and they understand the value of sports. You could have questioned that maybe 15, 20 years ago. I think with C. Shane Reese, the new president, Keith Vorkink, they're big on sports. They want this sports athletic department to commit and be as at a high level as possible. Now, does that maybe goes to a bigger picture beyond them? Salt Lake, are they willing to play the arms race game? Tom Holmes said back in July, BYU is not going to get in the arms race of college sports. That's a red flag, because if you want to turn this around and become a power again, BYU was once a power. When Chad was watching BYU football, they were a powerhouse, and people forget that. And it's like, you want to get to that powerhouse level because this is the stage to get to powerhouse status. Are they willing to invest at the highest of levels unlike ever before? Because I still see discrepancies on support staff where you're not at the same level as even Iowa State. So let's get out to one more phone call. Trevin from Saratoga Springs. What gives you hope, Trevin?
I know you guys have kind of been ragging on Kalani a little bit. I think Kalani gives me hope a little bit. I think he's still the guy to, like, lead us, right? He's still the guy that's there. I think I have hope in him. I think he makes the right decisions. He kind of changed the staff last year. He's trying to make those tough decisions. He gives me hope. That's probably my biggest thing of hope. I think the future is bright. I think we got some, you know, an opportunity ahead in the future. It's just, are we going to capitalize on that?
That's the million-dollar question. And
thanks,
Trevin. Here's the thing. The elephant in the room is it gets a little harder to capitalize that on that when you don't go to bowl games, because there's a decisive advantage for teams that go to bowl games. You get a lot more practice. You get a lot more reps for young players so that when spring ball and the next season hits, you're way ahead of other teams. That's the value of bowl games. The reward is value as well. Don't get me wrong. A lot of these guys, that is reward. But the real reward is in extra development for the program. And if they're going to capitalize, if they want to keep building, they got to get the bowls. That's why it's such a big deal to go to a bowl game.
What's discouraging about this season, though, is that you're dropping the ball in your first impression in the Big 12, unless you somehow pull off a miracle and get a win in these last two games. You got your rival coming in next year, even though they're kind of going through a mediocre year.
If we were having the mediocre year they were having, I'd be jumping for joy.
They're on different platforms right now. Utah's had back-to-back Pac-12 titles. BYU's building up to being a Big 12 title contender. But, like, that adds extra pressure where you're not having momentum going into next year when your rival's joining in. And that's a little bit frustrating for BYU. But like Trevin, I do believe in Kalani. And I think that there's a great opportunity this week for BYU to kind of get back on track. It's going to be a daunting task, taking down Oklahoma. Like, if you can be competitive, we can look at some bright spots from that. So that's going to be the challenge in front of BYU this week.
Weird time, if you haven't heard already. BYU and Oklahoma kick at 10 a.m. They haven't done this in nearly 20 years. Pregame begins at 8 a.m. right here on KSL News Radio. Hey, a Cougar Tales never seemed more fitting than at 9, 10 in the morning.
Kalani even said they're going to be warm and hot, and they're going to be pretty good. It's like, yes.
That's great.
Sorry,
good stuff
I'm
today,
sorry, Chad. Chad from Huntsville, I know you don't like that Cougar Tail comment, but good stuff today, man.
All right. We'll take the break. The game, Sooners and Cougars, here, 10 a.m. on KSN News Radio. We'll see you next week.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.